So thank you to Tehila and Ellie Shulman for hosting tonight. It's such a zechus. Thank you, Michelle, for the idea of just keeping to go and give shir in everyone's home. Just sharing Torah, learning together with the chevra in each home, making each home a makom Torah, which it is, of course, already, but now it's a makom Torah b'rabim. Now it's a place of public Torah learning, right? So now we're taking it to the next level, bringing great zechusim, and thank you for the opportunity. Also, thank you for bringing your mom. Always good to see. Always good to see Tova. Always good to see. So we know that Parshas Chayisara today was the yahrzeit of Rabbi Lord Sachs, that's all, his second yahrzeit, and he always pointed out about Chayisara, the more things change, the more they stay the same. What's Parshas Chayisara about? Jewish continuity and the land of Israel. The two biggest issues that the Jewish people have, that we had, and we always have had, these two major issues. But tonight we're going to look a little bit at a different issue that really is a subplot, if you will, to Parshas Chayisara. It's not a major theme, but it's certainly an underlying theme, an undercurrent, if you will, to a lot of what's going on. Certainly in the beginning of the Parsha, and then in the continuation of the Parsha, we also see that it has a tremendous role. And obviously nothing's a coincidence, it's not ironic, but it is interesting that this plays such an undercurrent here in the Parsha that's really about life and death, Chayisara, and a life and a parsha about continuity. And it's all going to hinge upon one Rashi. We're going to pick up one Rashi. There's a beautiful, beautiful drush on it. It's Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Tesvav. Right? That what's going on here, we're going to read through all the psukim, but what's taking place here, page 108 in the art scroll, is Adoni Shema'eni, my master, please listen to me, Eretz Arba Meo Shekel Kesef, a land that is worth 400 Shekel Kesef, Beini Uveincha, Mahi, between me and between you, what is it? Ve'esmeis Chalkivar, and just bury your dead. So, two issues with this pasuk. Rashi, right away, comments on Beini Uveincha, between me and between you. What's Ephron doing? Who's Ephron talking to? Until today, Ephron and Avram never met, right? Who is Ephron? Ephron is a nobody. He happens to own the land that Avram wants. And so because of that, Rashi tells us, and the B'nai Ches elevate him to a very, very important position. But the way Ephron's talking to Avram, what does Rashi say? Beini uveincha, between me and between you, bein shnei oavim, kamonu, between two people who love like us, Mahi chashuva l'klum. What is this considered anything? Ela hanich es amecher. Leave the price ve'esmeis chakivar, and bury your dead. So, what's Ephron telling Avram? Between two people who are such full of love, oavim kamonu like us, they never met. They don't know each other. What's Ephron saying? And second, Ephron's saying, of course we know, and this is more than just an undercurrent, it's very obvious, the Rashbam says, when you read through these psukim, what Ephron's really after. And when he says, Arba Meo Shekel Kesef, 400 silver shekel, the stipler figured it out, what a field normally went for back in those days, this is 80 times the value of what the field should have been. Again, 80 times. Imagine a field for $100,000, and he says, a field for $8 million, what's the difference between us? What? What's Ephron saying? This enormous, exorbitant price? What's going on here? So, Reuven Karlenstein, who is a big tzaddik from Eretz Yisrael, a number of Svarim, Michi Reuven, so he brings down that you have to really just read through everything's going on, and you have to know one pasuk in Koheles with the Medrash. The pasuk in Koheles, I believe it's Hey Tess. And the pasuk is, Oev Kesef, Lo Yispa Kesef. Someone who loves money will never be satisfied with the amount of money they have. And the Medrash in the Yalkut Shimoni on Koheles tells us that you know what this means? Oev Torah Mitzvos, Lo Yispa Torah Mitzvos. someone who loves Torah and mitzvahs will never be satisfied with Torah and mitzvahs. What does that mean? Someone who loves Torah and mitzvahs will never be sad. It says, Oiv kesef lo yispa kesef. So the way that it's understood is what Shlomo HaMelech talking about, and the Rishonim already that address this. That Hashem created us with this incredible drive not to be satisfied. Hashem created human beings with this immense tshuka, with this deep yearning for more. And never to think that we have enough. The question is, what do we pivot that drive to? What do we turn that tshuka to? And he says that reading through Parshas Chayei Sarah, you see the ultimate contrast of two Ohavim, of two people of great, great loves. One loves money, the other loves Torah mitzvahs. And he says that this is clearly what's happening. To support the notion that Avram and Ephron never met each other, let's just turn a page earlier. Let's just read a few psukim tonight. Just to understand the subtext. Rav Soloveitchik always said that his father taught him how to read between lines. And if there's any section in Torah, you have to know how to read between the lines, it's here. Because Ephron is like a precursor to Lavan, is very duplicitous, very deceptive, very tricky. And so let's just read it clearly. Pasakimel, Vayakam Avram Yalpene Meso, Vayidaber al Bnei Ches Limor. Avram addresses the Bnei Ches. Ger Vesoshav Anochi Machem, Tenuli Achuzas Kevri Machem Be'ekbra Meisi Milfanai. I'm a Ger and a Toshav. I'm Ger, I'm coming to you from Beersheva. Vetoshav, I'm creating a place to stay with you now. Give me an inheritance as an inheritance, a burial place, and let me bury my dead from in front of you. Vayanu b'nei cheses Avram le'marlo, shema'enu adoni, nasi Elohim atah b'selchenu. The b'nei ches, the chashuvim of the b'nei ches, the dignitaries say, listen, our master, you are a prince of God in our midst, the choicest of graves, kivaris mezecha. No one amongst you is going to hold back a grave from you. Please bury your dead amongst us. Avram gets up, he bows, La'am Aretz Levnei Ches, Vayidaber Itam Leimor, Im Yeshes Nafshechem Lechkvaris Meisi Milfanai, if it is your real desire, your nefesh, that you want me to be able to take care of this, Shima'uni, please listen to me, Ufigli Be'Ephron Ben Zachar, introduce me to Ephron. That's all I want. So, and he'll give me Ma'aras HaMachpelah that he has, B'kesef Malay, Yitinenali. I'm not asking for a gift. I'm paying full price. Kesef Malay, literally. Full money I'm paying him. Full price. I'm not skimping. To give it to me, Mitzi L'Achuzas Kever, meaning I don't want one grave. This is an Achuzas Kever. I'm establishing my ancestral burial rites here. The Ephron Yoshe B'Selch B'nei Ches. So immediately Rashi tells us that he's elevated to Makom, a place of prominence, because Avram, the Nasi Elokim, Avram, this famous prince of God, wants to talk to Ephron? This guy that has this field, it's not even such a good field in the edge of town. Immediately Ephron gets elevated to a place of prominence. The Ephron Yoshe B'Soch B'nei Ches, Vayan Ephron Achitias Avram, Ba'azne B'nei Ches, L'chol Ba'eshar Iro Le'mor. And again, what does he say? He responds to Avram, Ba'azne b'nei ches. L'chol ba'ei shayro, meaning in the ears of b'nei ches, to everyone coming to the city. Meaning, what's Ephron doing? He's loving the attention. L'chol ba'ei shayro, anyone who comes, Ephron is so excited, and he wants to make sure the b'nei ches listen, they hear what he's saying. And listen how you read the next pasuk. Top of 108, pasuk yud aleph. Lo adoni shma'eni. How do you translate that? That's a very strange formulation. Lo, no, Adonishma Eni, my master, hear me. So the way that some want to read it is, Lo Adonishma Eni, don't listen to what I'm telling you. Right? You could translate, Lo Adonishma Eni, no, my master, don't hear me. Meaning, don't listen to what I'm telling you. Nasati lach asadeh, nasati lach, I already gave you the field. Hamara shabo lachanasatiya, the cave in it, I'll give it to you. La'enei b'nei ami, in front of the eyes of all of my nation, nisati alach kivar, I have given it to you, go bury your dead. But what does he tell him? Lo adoni shema'eni. No, don't listen to what I'm saying. Avram understands totally. Avram plays the game. He bows lifnei am aretz to all the people. He understands what Ephron wants. He understands Ephron wants to be elevated, wants to feel big. So Avram goes through the game. Vayidaber l'Ephron ba'aznei am aretz leimo ach. And he says again, Avram also ba'aznei am aretz ach im ata lushma eni nasati kesef hasadeh kach mimeni vekpras mesi milfanai. And Ephron responds again with the pasuk that we read. Adonai Shema'eni, now really listen to me. Again, the first was Lo Adonai Shema'eni. Now he says Adonai Shema'eni, now listen. Understand what I'm telling you, Avram. Eretz Arba Meo Shekel Kesef Beni Uvein Chamahi Vesmeis Chakivor. This is what I want. I want $8 million for a $100,000 field. And what's he telling Avram? He's telling Avram, two Oavim. Avram, to you, what is this? You value mitzvahs. This is what you value, Avram. You value mitzvahs. I value money. So between the two of us, we have a great shidduch here. Right? You don't really care what the money's about. And I don't care about this field. You want to bury your... Okay, take this field from me. I don't care, but understand, I want $8 million for this. That's what the stipler says is going on. And so here we see this incredible contrast of a question in Chaye Sarah. It's in the context of death that we're asked, what is it that we really value? What is it that we spend our most precious commodity on? What's our most precious commodity on? What's our most precious commodity?
Time.
What do we spend our time on? We know that's a teaching that we've shared many times from the Chidush Erim in the beginning of the parasha, the famous Medrash of Rabbi Akiva, teaching his Talmidim when they were dozing off and telling them, you know, why did Esther merit to rule over 127 countries and provinces? Because Esther lived 127 years. Sarah, thank you. Why? What's the connection? So Rabbi Akiva was teaching them, for every year of Sarah's life was another country that Esther ruled. That every month of Sarah's life was another state in the country. Every week of Sarah's life was a major city. Every day of Sarah's life was a bunch of neighborhoods. Every hour was a few towns. Every few seconds of Sarah's life were another few homes that Esther would become queen over. And the idea that Rabbi Akiva was teaching his Talmidim, according to Chidush Erim, was to understand the value of time, of what you can do with your time. And here it's in the context of burying Sarah Imenu, the first real burial that we hear of in the Torah, certainly with such detail. We're told many people die. Here we're told about a burial, and at length, and with great detail of exactly what's going on. And it's in the context of Sarah Imenu. Think about the image. Sarah Imenu was lying there, waiting to be buried. And Avram Avinu has to deal with this guy who's just Oev Kesef Lo Yispa Kesef. So at this moment, when Avram's seeing Sarah, saying like, Ephron, you think this is important to me? And Ephron knew it. Ephron knew that this wasn't important to Avram, but especially in this context. That's Meitzcha Kevar. He says, yeah, you'll bury her, but after I get my $8 million, that's when you're going to bury her. And so when we talk about a Parshas Chayi Sarah, yes, it's a Parsha dealing with commitment to Eretz Yisrael. It's a Parsha dealing with Jewish continuity. But it's also a parsha that asks us, what do we really value? And Shlomo HaMelech tells us in Koheles, Oev Kesef Lo Yispa Kesef, as the Yalkut Shimoni in Koheles tells us, Oev Torah Lo Yispa Torah, Oev Mitzvos Lo Yispa Mitzvos. What is it that we really have that drive for? And again, in the context of Hakedas Yitzchak, as we spoke about last week, about understanding what we're here for, and what ultimately our goal is supposed to be, you know, this is one of the great challenges that we have. The Mesilas Yesharim and Perek Yud Aleph, the Ramchal tells us, in dealing with the pratim, the details of a midah called nekiyus, of cleanliness, of not only making sure our actions, but making sure that our insides are clean. He talks, one of the things he talks about is the challenge of money. And the challenge of making sure that on the inside we're not doing anything inappropriate for money. Because it's one of the Gemara Chagiga tells us, Gemara Baba Basra tells us, that many people sin with different forms of thievery, of geneva. What does that mean? We steal? We don't steal. But it means that sometimes it's such a great drive that we lose our perspective and we do things that we shouldn't do to get ahead in that way. And so this is what Rav Karlenstein and others talk about, that why is the Torah going into such detail in this contrast between Avram, Ephraim? Why is this important to know Avram's, you know, negotiations to bury Sarah Imenu? Why is this in the Torah, Akdosha? Because in the background of the burial of the mother of our nation, the Torah wants to ask us, what do you really value? What's really important to you? What are the things that you're going to spend, again, we said, your most important commodity on? Time. How are you going to focus that? What's it geared towards? And this is something that we find throughout the Parsha, this challenge of, do we have this proper perspective, this proper relationship when it comes to dealing with money? The Baal HaTurim has this very cryptic comment, Kedarko Bakodesh of the Baal HaTurim, when he tells us that there are three times in Tanakh that we have the word Uba, right? That when Eliezer is talking to Hashem, he tells God that this is the deal, this is what I need from you, Uba Eda, and through this I will know. I'm saying, where's the exact Pasuk? Yeah, here it is. Vaya Hanara Asher, the bottom of page 110, Vaya Hanara Asher Omar Eleha Hatina Chadech, and the young maiden that I will say to her, please tip your pitcher, v'eshte, and I'll drink, v'amra shasei v'gam gamalech hashkeh, and she'll say, drink, and also to your camels I'll give, osa hachachta lavdecha liYitzchak, and she is the one that you've proven for your servant, for Yitzchak, uva edak yasisa chesed imadoni. And with this I will know that you've done kindness with my master. So the Baal HaTurim is the master of cryptic statements and making interesting connections. And he says there are three ubas b'mesora. There are three ubas in Tanakh. Here, uva eda kiasisa chesed imadoni. In Yeshayahu, perek yedal et pasuk lamed beis, uba yechesu aniye amo. And in it, they will find refuge, the poor of his nation. Talking about Hashem building up Tzion and the poor of the Jewish people finding refuge and security and safety in Yerushalayim. And in Divrei Hayamim, Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Beis, talking about a crown that David takes from the king of Ammon after they wipe out Ammon, Uba Even Yikara. And in the crown, in it, was a very, very precious stone. So the Yalkut HaGershuni says, what's the Baal HaTurim telling us? Three ubas? Connecting these three ubas? What does this mean? So he says, again, he suggests that the Baal HaTurim is picking up on this undercurrent of Parshas Chayisara. One of the undercurrents of the Parsha is our relationship with money. We find it very, very clearly with Ephron and Avram, and we're about to come to it, and we'll get to it a little bit more with who? Who is it going to come up with again? With Lavan, right? We're going to see it again with Lavan. So he says that Chazal tell us, and this is based on Psukim in Mishlei and Psukim in Koheles, that there are times that wealth is a blessing and there are times that wealth is a curse. And he says, how do you know which it is for you? So the Baal HaTurim says, Gimel b'mesorah. These three words, Uba, all connect one to another. And this is the test, this is the litmus test for whether or not your material possessions are a curse for you or they're a blessing for you. And it starts, it's backwards. First you start in the Pasuk Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Chaf, Uba Even Yikara. And in it is a precious stone, meaning that a person has a precious stone, a certain wealth. Then you go to Yeshayahu, Uba Yechsu Ani Yamo. And if in this precious stone, in the wealth that you're given, aniim of his nation find shelter, they find refuge, then what will it come to? What is clear? Uva eda ki asisa chesed in Adoni. That then I will realize that I have found chesed from Hashem if I'm able to use this wealth for good. If I'm able to use the blessings that Hashem gives me for good. Because unfortunately, sometimes that we say that Oshar is Nishmar Labal of L'Raso, that there are times that it causes great havoc. There are times it's a source of such dissension, of such fights and horrific, horrific things. I mean, and therefore, this is what the Baal HaTurim is hinting to us. Again, in the background of burying Sari Menu and looking, you know, Shiduchim, what do we value in Shiduchim? What's important for us in Shiduchim? So here, this is what the Baal HaTurim is telling us. The litmus test for whether or not and how we're using our wealth properly. And just the ultimate irony is, of course, when we come to Lavan. Because what happens with Lavan that... Lavan's really a piece of work, right? Because what happens with Lavan? What does he do? What does Lavan do? Vatara tanara. Next page. What? Next page. Yeah, 114. Pasuk chavches. Vatara tanara vatagid lebeisima kadvar ma'ela. Rivka runs back. She tells her mother all these things that happened. Chavtes ule Rivka ach ushmo Lavan. Vayaretz Lavan el ish achutza la'ayim. Rivka has a brother. His name is Lavan, and Lavan runs right away to the man outside, toward the fountain, towards the well. Why? Vayihi kiros es hanezim besatzmidim al yidei achoso. Ukishamu es divrei Rivka achoso lemor kodi berei lai ha'ish. Vayavo elo ish vinei omer ala gamalim ala ayim. Because he saw all these gifts. And as Rashi says, that vayaratz in Pasuk Chavtes, in the bottom, in the right column, second to last line, lama ratz, valma ratz, why did he run? What's he running for? Vayihi kiros es hanezim. When he saw all of this jewelry, Amar, he said, Asher Huza, this guy is a wealthy guy. And then Rashi used the Lashon, V'nasan Einav B'mamon. And he put his eyes on the money. And when you put your eyes on the money, everything else gets lost. Where do we see everything else gets lost? What does he tell Eliezer? He tells Eliezer, V'yomer bo baruch Adonai, lama samod bachutz, v'anochi panisi abayis u'makum lagmalim. Right? Come, blessed of God, why are you standing outside? I clean the house and a place even for the camels. What does that mean, panisi abayis? What does Rashi say, the left column, top line? Panisi abayis, me'avodos kochavim. I clean the house. Doesn't mean I just cleaned the house for you. What does it mean? I cleaned it from avodah zarah. When there's money, I don't need God, right? Right? When there's money, forget about God. Yeah, no, that's okay. I'll give God a little piece of the money that I get, but he'll get up his avodah zarah. What a God! No, Baruch Hashem, right? All of a sudden, the most frumous guy. Lavan's the frumous guy, you know, because there's money to be made, and some of Farshim say like it's ironic, like Himamish panisi abayis. He clears his avodah zarahs out with the manure in the stalls in the barn that he's clearing out for the gamalim, for the camels. It's like unbelievable. Mom, she like the image of the avodah zarah together with the refuse, with the excrement that he's clearing out in the barn. Because v'nosan einav b'mamon, he puts his eyes on the money. And that's all he sees. And that's all he cares about. And this is, of course, you know, when we talk about Jewish continuity, when we talk about the land of Israel, these, of course, are certainly issues that come up. That come up all the time. But what we have to think about is, you know, how much is being driven by what? And what are really we aspiring to? That's the question that we come to, ultimately, in Parshas Chayisara. And this is why, when Eliezer is looking for a wife for Yitzchak, what's the midah? The midah that he's looking for is chesed, a balas chesed. Because what does it mean to be a balas chesed? To understand what the greatest value is. To understand that whatever blessings Hashem pours into my life, it's to share and to give and to do for others. That's the ultimate lesson of the Baal Chesed. The Baal Chesed is the person who's willing to give up anything to make a difference for other people. Understanding that that's our tafkid here. And this is why, this is what Eliezer says. And that's why Eliezer comes with such gifts. To, of course, he doesn't know what he's going to be looking for. But he says he doesn't want someone that's going to look at these rings, going to look at these bracelets, going to look at the and say, wow, this is amazing. Oh, I want this guy. He's clearly a very, very wealthy guy. No, no, no. He says, the woman that's the Baal Chesed, this is really going to be the proof for me ultimately as to what is the most, the right shidduch for Yitzchak Avinu. And here we are, you know, the catalogs are coming. right? This is the time of year. Now, I was always looking for the Toys R Us catalog as a kid this time of year. Always waiting to see if it came in the Staten Island Advance. I don't even know that paper still exists. But, you know, just looking for the Toys R Us catalog in the Staten Island Advance, right? This is the time of year when advertisers spend a significant portion of their budget just trying to pull the advertising budget just to pull us all in and to create needs where there are no needs, to create wants where there wasn't a want until you saw the picture, right? I mean, it's an unbelievable thing. Reb Simcha Wasserman would tell the story that by his father, Reb Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yinkum Damov, there was no such thing. Like, if you wanted something and you asked for it as a little kid and you kvetched for it, you were guaranteed never to get it in his house. Like, that was the rule. And by Reb Simcha Wasserman, so he thought he had a great chat. He knew that there was some candy in the house and he wanted the candy. But he knew if he kvetched his father for the candy, there was no chance his father would get the candy. So Simcha Wasserman was a little boy, a very smart little boy. What did he do? He grabbed the candy, said, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shehakol Kol Nihyeh Bedvaro. His father held his hand and poured water down his throat. That his father, you know, you have to understand, there's a time and place. You have a taiva for the candy. You don't just eat the candy, right? He thought he outsmarted his father. But Rabbi Chanan was too smart for him. But this is something that, you know, when we come to a parsha like Chai Sarah, really, it's a time of Cheshbon HaNefesh, Dafkinness. You know, sometimes, you know, Achrimos Kedoshim Emar, that, you know, if the person passes away, you think about how holy they were. Like, what did they really, really value? What did they really, really value? You know, there are these horror stories. Like a guy, when people walked into a wake, no, there wasn't a Jewish guy. They walked into a wake and the guy was sitting, the nifter, was sitting in his lazy boy chair, wearing his Pittsburgh Steelers hat, in his Pittsburgh Steelers jacket, his Pittsburgh Steelers cover. Over, I don't think the Jets offer this, do they? No. With his Pittsburgh Steelers cover over his legs. In one hand was a beer, in the other hand was a remote. In front of him was a television playing on a loop the Pittsburgh Steelers' greatest hits. He made sure everyone knew what the most important thing to him was, right? It was the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not his kids or grandkids or whatever. It was the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was the most important thing, right? And so we know in the parsha in which we make this Cheshbon HaNefesh of what's the most important thing. It's a subtle, it's not a main theme in the parsha. There's no question it's not the major theme in the parsha. But we know that this is certainly an undercurrent in the parsha. The contrast between Ephron and Avram. To see what motivates a Lavan and what motivates a Rivka. We see these comparisons, these subtle comparisons that the Torah is making. And we have to remember the teaching that the Vilna Gaon taught his students over 200 years ago. When the Vilna Gaon told his students that at the end of days, the hardest time to be an observant Jew is going to be in Ikvas of the Mashiach, because Yaakov will be holding Akav Esav. I know that's next week's parsha. I know I'm jumping ahead. But he says at the end of days, it's going to be the hardest time in all of history to be a firm Jew, because Yaakov is going to be holding the heel of Esav. Now, what does that mean? Yaakov's going to be holding the heel of Esav? So the way that the Vilna Gaon understands it, based on the Zohar, is that at the end of days, the Jewish people are going to be materialistically better off than we've ever been as a nation. And that's going to be our greatest challenge. That's very sad. One Jewish historian said, you know where the biggest collection of tefillin are in the world? I don't know if this is true, but where he said? New York Harbor. Why? Because as the boats came in, starting in the 1880s, the great migration of Russian Jewry, when people were coming to America, they thought in the Golden Medina, we don't need religion now. We're here for a different type of life. And who knows how many thousands of pairs, this is what one Jewish historian once said, how many thousands of pairs of tefillin are in the bottom of New York Harbor. And we think, ay, Nebuch, that's so sad. That's so crazy. Ay, Hashem Yirachim. But what we have to try, to be honest with ourselves, is what really motivates us. Like, what are the goals that we want? What are the most important things for us to try and accomplish over the course of our lifetime? And so let's try to actually live what those goals are. Right? Sof ma'isa b'machshav t'chila. Right? Ultimately, what you're going to accomplish at the end has to be b'machshav t'chila. It has to be in our mind. We can't lose that perspective. All too often, because of the helter-skelter nature of daily living, you know, we forget to take our pulse, we forget to take that step back and just reorient ourselves, remind ourselves of really, really what the keys are, of what we want to be accomplishing. But this is what Parshas Chayesara does for us. If you listen to the Parsha, again, burial, talking about Shiduchim, talking about the cycle of life, but in the cycle of life, with the craziness of life, as life just runs quicker and quicker past us, to make sure that we're holding on to really the things that are the most important. To make sure that we're not an Ephraim that talks one game but plays another game. Right? To make sure what we speak is what we do. And what we do is what we speak. And obviously, not the money, right? To make sure that what we speak, the platitudes that we say are so obvious of what's so important to us, we make sure that this is really how we're living our life. And so this is something that I think that when we talk about Hanukkah, because of course every year we mention this, almost every year Parshas Chayesara is Shabbos Mevarchim Kislev. As Rav Moshe Wolfson points out in his Sefer Emunah Sitach and Mashgiach of Tor V'Das, that means the Shabbos, that Chayesara, that Tamara opens up, is also the month that the Koach of Kislev is felt. And we know that Hanukkah was the last Yantif given to us by Chazal. So in Hanukkah is the light of Mashiach. It's the light to bring us to Mashiach. And what was the challenge of Hanukkah? Again, we just have to remind ourselves every year. What was the challenge of Hanukkah? The challenge of Hanukkah was Yavan. What's Yavan? Yavan, on the outset, isn't necessarily, again, what was Yavan? Beauty. We believe in beauty in Torah, no? I mean, Yaftel kim yefes vishkon ba'ole shem. That's not something that's objectionable to a Jew. But the danger of Yavan, right? As Mefarshim point out, how do you spell Yavan? Yud, Vav, Nun Sofis. The exact same stroke. But what? It starts a little, gets longer, then it gets longer. And in Tehillim, what does Yavan mean? It means quicksand. The Metzulas Yavan. It means like quicksand. You get caught. And very, very quickly, what happens? You get sucked in and you get brought down. And the ultimate craziness is when you ask people, where were we during Galus Mitzrayim? Where were we during Galus Mitzrayim? Where were we during Galus Bavel? Where were we during Galus Paras Madai? Where were we during Galus Yavan?
Israel.
In Eretz Israel. We had a Beis HaMikdash. How did we become in Galus, living in Israel, with the Beis HaMikdash? With the Beis HaMikdash! Because it started with the Yod of Yavan. What do you mean? The Greek Seleucids, they want to bring us beauty. What's wrong with beauty? What's wrong with games? Games are nice. Not against games. But slowly but surely, what happens? We get pulled in, we get pulled in. Look, to live the life of an Orthodox Jew, I always say, it's not cheap. It's not cheap, right? Don't look at the Costco meat. Don't look how much that big chunk of treif meat is, because it's going to be like, Hashem, I am Moser Nefesh for you, right? No, like, I mean, I don't check. But anyone check the last time? Even with inflation, right? So, tzadekas. Even with inflation, I mean, how much is that big chunk? How much is that big chunk of meat? Come on. You talk about what that would be kosher? Oh, you insane? Like, I get it. I'm not saying it's easy. But the question is, even while there's tremendous costs to support a firm family, and we toil to be able to do it, and remember, when we're toiling, have in mind that this is all a shame mitzvah, to be able to support a firm family, to be able to send our kids to yeshiva, to be able to eat kosher, and every moment that we're working is a mitzvah. Mamish is a big mitzvah. Every moment that we're working is a mitzvah. but we can't let ourselves get drawn in. And again, when we talk about the American dream, is there anything wrong with the American dream? Is there anything wrong with it? Nothing objectively wrong with living the American dream, but that's not what we should be dreaming of. That's not our dream. The American dream, there's nothing objectively wrong, except when you forget to dream about anything else. And that's what Hanukkah was. That's how it started. How were we in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash in Galus? Because you know what the Galus was? We forgot who we are. Never before in Jewish history, some Jewish historians said, has the Jewish community been so strong? The amount of Torah learning going on, the amount of chesed going on, the amount of tefillah going on. I mean, it's insane. Did we ever have this? Did he ever have this? You know, you go to the Al Tehem in Lakewood, you know? You just see how many batei madrash. It's like crap is driving by there. Mm-hmm. You can't drive on a main road without five shuls or schools. And they all look the same. I mean, no, they look like one of three buildings. It's either very, you know what I'm saying? Like there are three tipusim of the buildings down in, it's like crazy. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
There's like five shuls within a 5-minute walk.
Right, I'm sure. It's unbelievable. Have we ever had this? But yet at the same time, Rahman al-Itzlan, when there's so much Torah and there's so much tefillah and there's so much chesed, amazing things. How many Jews disassociate with Yiddishkeit? It's so sad. It's so tragic. Because we're getting lost in the Yavan of America. And this is why the Shabbos that the Ma'ara opens, and Ma'ara's Machpelah, again, it's all about Chevron, about Chibur, a Chibur that goes on beyond this world, right? There are sources in Kabbalah that our tefillahs don't go up from Eretz Yisrael now, from Yerushalayim. Even though we daven to Yerushalayim, from Yerushalayim, our tefillahs all go to Chevron, and they go to Shemayim from Chevron. Because Yerushalayim is destroyed. What's on the Makom HaMikdash? The Shaar HaShemayim, what's there? A big gold dome. What's in Chevron? It's Ma'ara B'toch Ma'ara, but it's still a Chibur. It's the, we don't believe until death do you part. It's beyond death, right? That there's this notion that we're always connected to Hashem. Aliyas HaNeshama, this idea of always being connected to God no matter what's going on. And that's why even though there's a mosque in the Makom HaMikdash, it's B'churbana, we believe in the Chibur, the connection that Hashem hasn't rejected us. So many people have tried to tell us, right, over the years that we're rejected. But what we have to make sure is that we still have these dreams. That the light of Hanukkah is the light that's going to hold us to Mashiach, to remind us who we really are. And that's what the Arizal says, that when we light the Hanukkah Neiros, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to stare at the Neiros. What does staring at the Neiros do? It restores your eyesight. What does that mean? Restores your eyesight for what? It helps you see yourself, really. It helps you see clearly who you are, who your children are, who your loved ones are. To be able to see the beauty and the lokus, the amazing holiness in each and every one of us. And this is the challenge that's first given to us by Chayasar. And it goes on, if you notice, in Toldos, with Esav. What does Esav want? What does Yaakov want? Vayetze. What does Lavan want? What does Yaakov want at the beginning of the parsha, end of the parsha? Vayishlach, who is Yaakov? What does Yaakov want? Again with Esav, Vayeshev, what is Yosef? It's amazing. This theme of maintaining clarity, of making sure, it's a theme that continues now through the end of Bereshis Kemat. Kemat through the end of Bereshis. It probably finds its resolution in Vayigash. That's really where I think it ends. Again, we're not going to go through all that now. But just something to think about, something to start our hachanas for Hanukkah already. And Hashem should just help us, Be'ezus Hashem, that Hanukkah is supposed to be the light of Mashiach. It's a light that shouldn't just be stuck on our menorahs. It should be the light, our chadash al tzion toyer, the great light over Zion. And Be'ezus Hashem will all be zoche to be lighting our menorahs, the chatzros kachach and Hashem's holy courtyards in Yerushalayim. Amen. Okay.
rabbi anywhere on the planet.